State Republican lawmakers are studying whether to merge the University of Wisconsin System's two-year colleges with the state's technical college districts. In this edition of our State Capitol Report, we will talk about this idea with two state lawmakers, the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader and the Assembly Speaker. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, August 17th. We will also preview the Assembly's priorities for the fall legislative session, which includes a proposal to change the Government Accountability Board. Also includes a possible ban on aborted fetal tissue research. And we welcome your questions on any of the issues facing the state of Wisconsin right now. And maybe, and most especially starting off, what do you think of this idea of merging the UW system's two-year schools or colleges with the state's technical colleges? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Katrina Shankland. She is a Democratic state representative from Stevens Point and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. We saw on Facebook, in fact, some of your initial feelings about the possibility of merging the two-year colleges with the technical colleges. What's your concern?
I have so many concerns. I think the first is that we just finished a legislative session on both the budget and the Bucks Arena, and you would think that at a time when we're preparing for fall session, we would at least be told in advance as legislators in the minority caucus that this proposal would be coming up and that a legitimate committee or task force would be formed. The speaker just announced several different task forces that are required to comply with open meetings laws. But what's interesting about this quote-unquote work group is that it's private and informal, which means that open meetings laws don't fit in with their mission, and so they're basically closing down this task force to the public. So not only have the UW and technical colleges not been invited to the table, including their educators and students, but also the ranking Democrats on the university and technical colleges committees, the education committees, and the legislature haven't even been invited either. So I'm extremely concerned that at a time when Republicans have cut $250 million from the UW budget in the 2015-16 budget, as well as another $250 million in the 2011-2012 budget, that they would close down debate to the public while they are figuring out how to merge these two systems together.
Republican State Representative David Murphy, who also chairs the Assembly's Committee on Colleges and Universities, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that it is, quote, not uncommon to look at issues and look for efficiencies. He reportedly went to Assembly Speaker Voss and said, let's look for some efficiencies. What's wrong with exploring the systems and seeing if there's a way to save some money and look for efficiencies?
I think at the very least what needs to happen is this needs to become a regular committee with equal representation of both Democrats and Republicans, not five Republicans led by a freshman legislator with absolutely no experience in higher education deciding what's efficient and what isn't. It's easy to say efficiency without recognizing that our UW colleges and our technical colleges serve people. And these people are looking for family-supporting jobs, they're looking for a good education, and they're looking for economic opportunity. So what I'd like to see happen in this debate is to look at the number of first-generation students, returning veterans, part-time students, non-traditional students who use our two-year colleges and our technical colleges as doorways into a ladder of economic opportunity to provide for their children, to be able to succeed in life, and to make sure they get a good education that provides them with a family-supporting job. This isn't just about efficiencies. I would argue gutting the UW system by $250 million twice in the last 4 years should be enough for them if they want to argue that point. But at the very least, they should bring in a bipartisan group of legislators to examine this and have the public a part of it, including the UW colleges and technical colleges, who deserve a voice and seat at the table, especially considering the leader of this little ragtag work group doesn't even have experience in education. I believe he's a banker.
Well, yeah, Representative Terry Katzma of Oostburg will chair the group that's looking into this. What do you make of that selection as chair?
I'm extremely concerned that someone, you know, again, he's been in for less than a year, gets to chair a legitimate, what should be a legitimate conversation. And I guess this is, to me, a part of a disturbing trend of the Republican leadership and legislators closing down government to the public. So at a minimum, I think these meetings should be public with all stakeholders invited and noticed according to open meetings law. But I also think that the stakeholders who have the most experience in education should be part of this work group and should really be the ones driving the conversation. What he would most likely hear is that this shouldn't be touched. And I would urge my colleague to listen to a Republican, John Torinas, who's very active in the business industries, and he actually recently argued that technical colleges, which have traditionally been funded through property taxes, up to 60% of their funding was funded by property taxes through 2014. He argued that the legislature should leave the funding model for property taxes to our technical colleges alone. He said it amounts to roughly 5% of most property tax bills, and that the return on investment is tremendous because technical colleges train our workforce. And last year, 2014, Republicans wanted to shift the property tax funding to technical colleges in the legislature. So I think that should have been our first indication of where this debate was going. But my question for legislators in the Capitol is, do they really want to go down the road of changing the way our local technical colleges are governed locally by local stakeholders, as well as funded locally by property tax bills? What could happen is, if they change the funding to general purpose revenue, which is our state's general revenue in tax dollars that we appropriate to things like schools and health, for example, would we not have an even more difficult time appropriating money fairly to both technical colleges and our university system in the future? I would argue yes, and I would say that may be why they're investigating doing this. It's notable that Republicans slashed our technical colleges by 30% in the 2011-2012 budget, $119 million. So I think this is part of a larger scheme of cutting more public money to our public schools and universities.
Representative Murphy said that, you know, this is just we're going to take it slow. We're just going to look. No changes would be made unless there were some major benefits to this. What's wrong with just having this task force look at issues, but then invite the public and other people to the table later in the game if this goes anywhere?
Well, I think if they invite the public, the sooner the better. But in my opinion, if you're going to announce a task force, it should be both legitimate and open, subject to open meetings and open records law. And of course, open records law at this point would be they would be subject to, but that's only because the public spoke out during the budget process and encouraged people to encourage legislators to repeal their open records changes. So I think accountability is important, and I think that, you know, we just had a debate from January to July of UW college funding, and not once was this mentioned when educators, when leaders in the education field traveled to Madison, traveled to Reedsburg and Brilliant and all the other Joint Finance Committee hearings to talk to legislators and urge them to commit to the Wisconsin idea. And so I think it's really interesting that Republicans waited until after the budget process to bring this up as an idea, because I guarantee you so many educators, especially those at the 2 years, were very passionate about serving students who are first-generation students, for example, who deserve access to the UW college in their region, This would have been brought up during the budget debate, and I think that's why they waited. But I think it's incredibly important to engage the public and for every member of the public in our community to know that our UW colleges serve a very unique purpose. In my opinion, the general education and core classes that they teach are incredibly important to our students' success in the future. And I'll give you an example. I studied at UW-Marathon County my senior year of high school and was able to learn a lot and get a lot of credits done before going on to a four-year university. But I think the story that our educators have to tell is very important, and I'm disappointed they haven't been a part of the discussion again.
Yeah, we have less than a minute before we take a news break. We'll talk more after news, but Speaker Robin Voss will be coming on in our next half hour. What would you like to say to him about proceeding with this merger idea?
I would ask him why he didn't announce this task force as one of his many speakers' task force, because, again, I do think it's important to engage the public and to have real educators and people with real education experience at the table. I'd also ask why this wasn't a part of the budget deliberations. And I think it's a road that has already been explored, and that this is an incredibly delicate issue where everyone's interests, especially students' interests, need to be represented. So I would want to ensure. Yep.
We will talk more after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking in this first half of our State Capitol Report with Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland. She is the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader, spending most of our time so far talking about the proposed merger between the University of Wisconsin System's two-year colleges and the state's 16 technical college districts. And we do have a caller on that, so we'll take a call on that and then move on to some other issues. Nicole in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Nicole.
Morning, Joy. I was calling. I'm against the merging of the UW colleges and the technical colleges. I think they have two entirely different purposes. So for the University of Wisconsin colleges, it's a lower-cost option with the intent of forwarding you on to a four-year university. Whereas for the two-year technical colleges, it's with the intent of giving you an associate's degree that will put you directly into the workforce. And it reflects in the way that credits transfer as well to four-year universities. I just think they have different missions, and they should be kept that way. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I assume, Representative Shankland, that you agree with those separate missions.
I do agree, and I also think it's important to note that significant efforts have already been underway to ensure that credits can transfer between the two. Last year, the UW system and technical college system signed an agreement that identifies up to 48 core credits that students can transfer between the two systems. So I'd argue that some of this important work in terms of looking at those transferability requirements and reducing time to degree have already happened. So I would argue that instead of using time focusing on looking at, quote, efficiencies between the two systems, we should actually be tackling the larger issue of reducing the burden of student loan debt and even talking about making college much more affordable in the future. So that would be my focus instead of this one.
Well, we wanted to also talk with you about a number of other issues that the legislature will apparently be dealing with this fall, a busy fall session. Republicans are looking to change the Government Accountability Board. They're looking into John Doe laws, campaign finance laws, and a number of other issues. What would you most like to see done in these final months of 2015?
I would like to focus on helping working families get ahead. I think that keeping our government open and accountable to the public is so important. And what I see in terms of these proposals, like changing the face of the GAB, I think it's an assault on democracy. When I hear from people across the state, the number one thing they say is they want government open, clean, and accountable. But they also talk about how hard they work and how no matter how hard they work and how much they try, they just can't seem to get ahead. We have the rising cost of tuition, health care, energy bills. And I think that more and more people are focusing on just trying to get ahead. And I know Assembly Democrats have introduced 15 bills in 2015 that are focused on jobs. But we also are working on legislation that help our working families get a chance at, you know, getting ahead. And I think that has more to do with focusing on what families deserve. And so we'll be focusing on child care affordability, retirement security, student loan debt, making education more affordable, and making sure that anyone who wants to go to college can.
Yeah, well, Speaker Voss named you as vice chair of the new Youth Workforce Readiness Task Force. So what are you hoping to accomplish in that role?
Well, I'm excited to work on that. I do think it's important to focus on reducing time to degree. I've already had several meetings on this workforce readiness, and I think one of the biggest burdens that the millennial generation and the next generation will have unless we reform the system is student loan debt. I think most students going into the workforce are tremendously concerned about carrying the statewide average of $28,000 in student loan debt, and it impacts which jobs they choose, which field they choose to go into, and how long it takes for them to graduate because, unfortunately, of the UW budget cuts. So what I'll be looking at is where can our UW system and our schools work together to kind of help, for example, with dual enrollment, that would reduce the time to get a degree and help reduce student loan debt. But I do think the larger issue is tackling college affordability overall, which is one of my larger goals.
Yeah. There was a bill that received a public hearing last week that would ban the sale, donation, and experimentation with body parts from aborted fetuses. What do you want to see happen with this legislation?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the sale of fetal body parts is already illegal under federal law. It isn't happening in Wisconsin, but what is happening is life-saving and job-creating research, and that's threatened under this bill. It's important to know that the biomedical research industry has a $27 billion annual economic output in Wisconsin, and it's responsible for over 105,000 jobs. So the biomedical industry is talking about how important it is that they maintain the ability to use fetal tissue to conduct life-saving research. There are over 100 labs at UW-Madison that are using it to conduct research on cancer, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's disease, immune disorders. In fact, they developed the polio vaccine through fetal tissue research, and people have been using fetal tissue to do research since 1930. So it's important to recognize, once again, it is already illegal to sell fetal body parts. So my question is, why is this bill happening? It's unfortunate that it goes after another industry in our state that's responsible for a lot of economic activity as well as jobs.
We just talked to a doctor in our last hour about back-to-school vaccinations, and the Wisconsin Medical Society would like to see the state's vaccine law updated, and they would like to see the personal exemption banned in Wisconsin, so parents can't just say, well, we just don't want to get our kids vaccinated. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I do know that Wisconsin has a state that's a lot more lax on the personal exemption than others. Other states at least require a form to fill out exactly what part of your belief system or why exactly you need the exemption. And I think it's important to at least ask, since a lot of it is just an education issue. There's a lot of false information out there about vaccines, and I do think it's important to get to the root of why someone would want to be personally exempt from it, because it could just be a misunderstanding. And I think other states that have a little more enforcement in terms of requiring some kind of thorough explanation do better at their having a better vaccine rate. And I know California just looked at it because of the measles outbreak over there. So I think this will be an interesting discussion to have this fall if that's when it comes up.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about possible changes to the Government Accountability Board. You said that this was an assault on open, clean government. Why do you say that?
Well, I would say this is another part of a pattern of Republicans in the legislature changing something they don't like, and for one reason only, and that's to consolidate power. And I think that it's important to look at the history of the Government Accountability Board. It was created in 2007 to replace what was called the State Elections and Ethics Board. That was a partisan board, and the GAB was given tougher investigative power. It had very strong bipartisan support. In fact, only two out of 132 legislators voted against the creation of the GAB. So when the Speaker of the Assembly says he would want partisan appointees to help administer campaign finance laws, my question would be, how would having partisan people help keep our state's enforcement of campaign finance laws, which are incredibly important to clean government, actually clean? I would argue that, you know, depending on the partisanship of the person and depending on their inclinations, they might be biased. And I think it's important to be as nonpartisan and unbiased as possible when it comes to administering and enforcing our elections laws. There's nothing more important to a democracy than free and open elections and government officials who are required to abide by strong campaign finance laws. Wisconsin has extremely strong ethics laws in this state. I would hate to see those not being enforced either because of a partisan GAB, and I'm concerned that their legislation would turn our nonpartisan watchdog into a lapdog.
So do you have any issues with having time limits on John Doe investigations and when they can be used?
Well, I think that prosecutors deserve to have the ability to investigate something that seems extremely legitimate. And I think that, you know, for them to go after the John Doe investigation when it's very clear they're working to defend the governor and every other third-party group that was under investigation during the John Doe shows, again, you know, they don't like the law, so they're willing to rig it in their favor in the future. And I do think it's important to maintain open and clean government at all times and to change the way that prosecutors can look for evidence is very important, and I would be very cautious about looking at any kind of change to our current John Doe laws. I think it's politically convenient for them, and it's a way for them to play the victim, but that John Doe investigation went on for some time to protect the public, from corruption and government officials, and I think it's very important to remember that in this discussion.
So are there... How would you like to see Wisconsin's campaign finance laws changed, if at all?
Well, I think that the recent Supreme Court ruling related to coordination between outside interest groups, where there was originally a wall between third-party interest groups that can do unlimited spending, independent expenditures, and campaigns, and now they can coordinate. And that is extremely concerning to me because essentially our campaign finance limits are a lost cause at that point. So you could give, you know, the maximum amount to a campaign, and then that person could then say, well, you know, you just gave me the legal maximum amount. Why don't you give X million dollars to my PAC or to this group, Club for Growth, or whatever third-party group you want? And, you know, I think it's worth noting that during the John Doe investigation, they were actually investigating the second one, whether or not these groups were illegally coordinating, and suddenly there's a Supreme Court decision that says that's no longer illegal. So I think that is a threat to keeping our finance limits at a reasonable amount and keeping candidates in charge of their message. Now these third-party groups can actually coordinate with a candidate, and I think that's even more dangerous because essentially they're no longer subject to these finance laws. They can just keep on funneling the money through those groups that they can legally coordinate with.
Yeah, we are having a little bit of difficulty reaching our next scheduled guest, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We are continuing our search for him. In the meantime, we are talking about the upcoming fall legislative session with Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland. And we will welcome your questions for her on any of these issues, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We also ask what you ultimately would like to see happen with the idea to merge the two-year UW colleges with the state's technical colleges. That's how we started off. If you have a thought or an opinion on this idea, we welcome that as well at 1-800-642-1234. So the Bucks financing deal was signed by Governor Walker last week, and he received quite a bit of national attention in the media for that. Media reports pointed out that one of the Bucks owners has been a major Walker campaign donor. Any thoughts on that deal, Representative Shanklin?
Well, I can understand why members of both caucuses and both houses in the legislature would support it, depending on where they live and what they're hearing from their constituents. And I think, you know, from my end, living in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, I heard some concern just because of the tremendous number of, you know, layoffs we had in our community. But I do think that the deal, the original deal that was proposed by the governor, was $250 million in bonding. And a lot of people had concerns with that proposal and argued for a better deal. And I do think overall the deal got better, but that wasn't enough to get every legislator support. And that's, I think, just because of the nature of the state funding versus the county funding and the city funding. So if you looked at the vote, it was an extremely interesting vote because it was more of a geographical vote than it was a partisan vote, and I think that spoke to various communities' differences of opinion when it came down to it.
And wrapping up, as we did locate our guest, what's your biggest hope or fear with the upcoming fall legislative session?
Well, I'm extremely concerned about what I would call these attacks on open and clean government. I want to make sure government is accessible to the people and truly serves the people. But I also want to make sure that our economy works for everyone. And right now, as I said before, people feel like, you know, things are stacked against them. No matter how hard they work, they can't get ahead. So I do think it's the legislature's charge to help working families get ahead. We need to be focusing on reducing student loan debt, making college more affordable, making sure that child care is accessible and affordable, and expanding retirement security. So those are the priorities that I have for the fall session. I'm looking forward to working on workforce development, but I think there's a lot that we have to do to make sure that anyone who wants to go to college can, and that anyone who wants to work can find a job. So looking forward to those efforts, but also nervous about the attacks on open government, and looking forward to a vigorous debate about how important it is to keep our government open to the people.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Katrina Shanklin, Democratic State Representative from Stevens Point and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. Our next guest is Robin Voss, Republican State Representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joyce.
Thanks for being with us. So we just heard Representative Shanklin say that she wants the legislature to concentrate on and focus on issues important to working families and not attacks on clean and open government. What's your response to that?
Well, that's actually what we're doing. The nice thing about the way that the Assembly works is we are actually doing in a bipartisan way. We're doing task forces on three very important topics, one dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia, another dealing with urban education issues, because we had a very successful speaker's task force last session on rural schools, and many of those items were actually included in the state budget that recently was signed by Governor Walker. And then the third area is the one that we appointed Katrina Shanklin to be on, which is dealing with youth and workforce readiness. So those are issues we're really focusing on. Of course, there are lots of topics beyond those, but those are the main focuses for what we're going to bring about hopefully this fall and next spring.
Yeah. Why isn't one of those task forces looking into this possible or this idea of a merger between the technical college system and the UW two-year colleges?
Well, first of all, because we're not ready to really talk about that yet. One of the things that I have tried to do as speaker is to ask people to get together, especially on our side, Democrats do it too, and kind of have a brainstorming session to say what are possible issues that we could bring about, what are things we could talk about, what are areas that we could introduce as bills to have a committee hearing on to try to stimulate the discussion. Early on in the legislative session, Representative Murphy came to me and said, look, you know, at a time when we want to encourage more and more people to go to higher education, because we know that's the way to raise wages and to make sure we reduce income inequality, and that's having a good education system. There are many who believe, especially as Katrina mentioned, we now have the ability to transfer credits between the two campuses. Literally, in many communities, you have a tech college and a two-year campus in the same geographic area, sometimes next door or across the street from each other. So if there are ways that they're offering the same classes to the same students, maybe there are ways that we can reduce the cost. So that's our way of helping college students be able to have affordability to go to school. Theirs is to raise taxes on some to give to others. Ours is to look for ways to do like we have done, which is freeze tuition for 4 years, bring down the cost of education that way, but also look for inefficiencies inside the system and then bring it forward. So we are way preliminary. And, of course, the Democrats, rather than engaging to say, like the Journal Sentinel has done in their editorial board, well, this is an interesting idea we should explore, rather than even being open to the idea, they immediately criticize it as opposed to taking part in the discussion. So it's just disappointing, but I'm hopeful that if they think that this is a good idea, they'll bring it forward. We'll then form either a Ledge Council Study Committee or a Speaker's Task Force, but it's just very preliminary.
Let me jump in, because we do have a newscast, and then we'll pick up on the merger idea and what happens with it after the news. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, talking in this half of the State Capitol Report with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We are talking about the legislature's, the Assembly's priorities for the fall session and this possible merger between the UW's two-year colleges and the Wisconsin Technical College System. What thoughts do you have on this, or what questions do you have for Speaker Voss? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The state lawmakers that are studying this merger, all Republicans, met in private last Wednesday, to get started on talking about this idea. A group of UW faculty is asking for a seat at the table as these talks go on, and we heard Representative Shankland say, Speaker Voss, that she doesn't know why other people aren't at the table here, the public and the universities and the technical colleges. Why just five Republicans?
Well, because you're continuing to mischaracterize exactly what it is. It's a brainstorming session where we ask legislators who have an interest in different topics to get together and see what the questions would be, what are the issues that are out there, to see whether or not it's even worth drafting a bill or forming a study committee that would include everybody, as we're doing with our three speakers task forces. So Democrats do the exact same thing. They bring two or three people together to talk about a bill, hash out ideas, and see whether or not it's worth introducing. We're doing the exact same process. It's just, the frustrating part, trying to get stuff done, that people want to criticize us before they've even had an opportunity to talk about the concept.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to mischaracterize it. I'm just trying to ask questions from the what we're reading about in the news. There was Representative Shankland also said that the chair of this group, Representative Terry Katzma of Oostburg, has no higher education experience and wonders why he would be picked to head this effort.
Well, partly because that assumes that only people who have had experience in an area are open-minded enough to learn more. And sometimes the very people who've been involved have their minds closed. And that's why you want to have people who have a different perspective, people who want to delve into an issue and don't have a bias to begin with. Obviously, Katrina has a bias where she's not even open to the idea. So having her as part of the task force probably wouldn't be all that functional to try to get to an answer. But our goal is to bring people together to look at the topic. It might end up that it's not worth doing, but as the Journal Sentinel and other people have pointed out, trying to find ways to make the university more efficient is the way we're going to hold down costs, not by what the Democrats want to do, which is to keep raising taxes and dumping it into government programs.
Yeah. Respond, if you will, to the concern that Democrats are voicing that this merger and these talks at this point are worrisome because Republicans just got done slashing the UW's budget.
Well, remembering that we got thank you letters from the university for the amount of effort we put into reducing the cut, and also remembering that there is still about a $1 billion balance in the UW's slush fund after 2 years, considering the fact that we did reduce funding and they still are able to maintain that balance, I think there's more than enough money in the university system to continue to maintain a high-quality education. And once again, rather than talking about the topics to make Wisconsin better, it seems like many Democrats just want to criticize the past without any facts whatsoever to support their opinion.
Yeah, there is also the concern that, and I know this is preliminary, but should some kind of merger like this happen, that this blends two very distinct missions, and there are those who are concerned that Republicans want to make the UW two-year college system a vocational school and just be, you know, prepare students for the workforce and not for a higher education, a degree.
Well, first of all, we got to remember, if you look around the country, in almost every other state, there's a community college system and there's a four-year institution system, either individual campuses or a system like Wisconsin has. So we are the outlier. And one of the questions we ask is Wisconsin doing better than other states in making sure that people have access and feel good about going to get an education after they graduate from high school? And that's one of the basic questions that we're looking at to see whether or not we do better or we could improve. And that's one of the things that frustrates me is that rather than even looking at how the rest of the country does it and says maybe there's a better way, maybe there's an interesting way that we would now be able to give every single child the opportunity to go to a 14th year of school after they have kindergarten through 12th grade, maybe we would have that as the norm. So right now there's a little bit of a stigma, which I think is really unfortunate, of going to tech school versus going to a UW campus. We want to also break down those barriers so people feel like whatever you do for your education after you graduate from high school, it is all of equal value, just different choices. There's lots of reasons that we should look at this, and rather than demagoguing it, I would encourage Democrats to participate in their way to find out answers as opposed to just, you know, arguing about the process, which is very preliminary.
We'll talk about other issues now, but when do you expect to know if this idea will be pursued further?
Well, it depends on what the individuals who are pursuing in the process work with. You know, they're brainstorming ideas. They're the ones reaching out and just putting together, you know, a basic concept to say, is this worth going to the next step? I think that that's what people expect government to do a lot of times, as opposed to just drafting a bill, throwing it out there, and having no thought into it prior to introduction.
So what seems to be the most likely changes that the legislature will make to the Government Accountability Board?
I voted for the Government Accountability Board as it's currently functioning. I was sold on the idea because they said basically two concepts would occur. Number one, that you would have a board that functions better because it was supposed to have the appearance of nonpartisanship. And secondly, the old model, which was really staff-driven, where unfortunately the staff had way too much power, would change. And in reality, we have the exact same problem as we had under the old system, but it's worse because there is supposedly the appearance of nonpartisanship when in reality every single person who is alive has a basic partisan bias one way or the other. So the only thing we've done is to cover up the bias that is inherent in every human being. And I would much rather have a process where we have people who are open and honest about saying, look, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I believe, you know, in these principles, and then they argue about them in public when we have that discussion. The second thing that we see is that Kevin Kennedy, in essence, has become almost universal in making the decisions for the Government Accountability Board, where they just rubber stamp his decisions after he's made them. Everything from changing the ballot in the middle of the election, scheduling the recalls for different days for Republicans versus Democrats, making sure that we have a process that has been embarrassing all across the country with this John Doe witch hunt. So lots of things that have happened underneath the Government Accountability Board that have just got to change.
A Senate committee has approved putting time limits on proceedings and when John Doe investigations can be used. Are those the kinds of reforms that you have in mind, too?
Yeah, this is one where, and once again, it's not just for campaign investigations. I think that the entire John Doe process, where Wisconsin is the only state who has a process like we do, is far too powerful to use in a way where people are literally not able to provide a defense. They're told they can't talk to anybody while the prosecutors continue their investigation. They can't defend themselves. And in reality, I think that the process is broken, and we're going to fix it.
We have some callers on different issues. Chris in Columbus is with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Great show, Joy, as usual. Mr. Voss, I am a conservative activist, former president of a college Republican campus organization, and it seems to me that with all of the changes that keep coming from Republican legislators, that somehow members of the Wisconsin Republican Caucus have lost sight of the conservative idea that government doesn't do things well, and so it shouldn't do things very often. And when it does, it should do them very slowly and under great deliberation. And I want to ask you, why is that? Why is it that the Republican caucus in Wisconsin is suddenly pushing things quickly and secretively when it should be slow and open?
Well, Chris, I thought you wanted to ask about, well, never mind. What's your response to that, Representative Voss?
Well, it's interesting. I was the chair of college Republicans when I was college, too, so perhaps we've met in the past. But the important thing for us to remember is that while the media might not always focus on some of these topics when they're introduced, we talk about them not quickly, but sometimes we're able to act quickly because we've had that discussion. Take it as an example, the dealing with Planned Parenthood. We have had a bill introduced for over 4 years to make these changes on the sale of fetal body parts, and now here we are because Planned Parenthood has been totally exposed, being able to act on it. So I wouldn't say we rushed to an answer on that. It took 4 years, and now we've had an opportunity to have a discussion. We're going to have a vote a full month after the committee hearing. So I think there's ample time to make sure we do that. So while people might be frustrated on the left that we're able to get things done, I think that most people in Wisconsin want progress, and that's what we've been showing over and over and over.
Yeah. Governor Walker isn't saying whether he would sign that bill that would ban the sale, donation, and research on body parts from aborted fetuses. Is it your sense he would sign it?
I assume he would sign it once we make some changes. I have not talked to him about it, so I can't speak for him, obviously. We are already looking at amendments to guarantee that we do not have the negative aspects to having research in Wisconsin. I think that the authors have been very reasonable. And in the end, we'll be able to do that where we can have ethical research and also do it in a way that protects human life.
Yeah, I thought that Chris was going to ask about the GOP passing laws that took away local control and that he was concerned about that. And there is a story in the news that there's a bill in the legislature that might prevent local governments from including e-cigarettes in their smoking bans. Are you taking away the control of local governments to do something like that?
No, if you remember, we actually did that when we passed the smoking ban to begin with, because in effect we had a local control where individual municipalities could have a decision on whether or not we wanted a statewide ban in their own municipality. I think the case was made that you would have not patchwork quilt regulations, but one standard all across the state to say, yes, you can not have smoking in taverns, bars, and restaurants. And I think, by and large, most people in Wisconsin would say that's a good thing. And I think sometimes making sure that we have a statewide standard as opposed to a patchwork quilt is the way that we should go. And I think it's the same on e-cigarettes, where we've now known there's no health effects to people who are having it. It's just vapor who's vented out. So I think that that's something we could definitely take a look at. We haven't caucused on it, but that's an example that I think, once again, having a statewide standard would make sense.
And we have less than a minute to go. I know that you mentioned you've created these three task forces to deal with Alzheimer's, urban education, and youth workforce readiness. Can you tell us in 30 seconds why these three areas?
There are issues that have just been percolating. We try very hard, as we did last time, to do our speakers task force on mental health. We did one on rural schools. We're trying to take topics that are incredibly important to the public, but also things that we can find hopeful bipartisan agreement on to be able to bring a package of reforms forward. Some might be in this legislative session. Some are getting stuff ready for the next governor's budget in a year and a half. So it's a process that we hope to work together. I look forward to working with my Democratic colleagues, listening to the public, and finding some good solutions.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Robin Voss, Republican State Representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Elizabeth Delaquest for producing and directing this program. This is the Ideas Network.